I'm Clay Pigeon. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. It's a weekly digest of some of the segments and moments that make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show on WFMU. Of course, you can listen live to Wake and Bake Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show. It includes great music, chair throwing, pixie dust, and all-around good vibes.
Oh my God, the man is a maniac.
You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA.
I'm making coffee. Anybody want? Who wants coffee? Come and get it. You want coffee? Who wants coffee? Anybody want coffee? I'm making the coffee.
All right, good morning, Clang listeners. Joe Bielak here with another edition of Almost Famous, our look at the formative years of your favorite rock and rollers. See if you can guess who it is without using a search engine.
I may not be able to do it, but I'll try.
Our story today begins in East Peoria, Illinois, where our subject was born in 1949. In junior high school, he started playing the saxophone in the school band and stuck with the instrument into high school. When he was 14, his uncle had given him an old guitar, and our subject taught himself to play. He was further inspired after seeing the Yardbirds at the Expo Gardens in Peoria. He started his first band, the Mach 4, and they became regulars on the school dance circuit. Our subject graduated from high school in 1967 and formed a more serious group, one that would start playing our subject's original material. This band was called the Suburban 9 to 5 and got to release 3 singles on local labels. Now, as we listen to the first of those 3 records, Walk Away, from October of 1967, see if you can guess who our future rock star is. All right, that was the Suburban 9 to 5 and their song Walk Away. Did you guess who it is?
No!
Well, the Suburban 9 to 5 continued to grow in popularity, getting to open for The Who, The Turtles, The Hollies, and other headliners at the Expo Gardens. Meanwhile, the regional music scene was gravitating away from Peoria and to Champaign, which was home of the University of Illinois. One of the bands emerging from that flourishing scene was gaining a big following and looking for more original material and trying to move away from being a cover band. Our subject had caught their act when the Suburban 9 to 5 had a gig near Champaign. The band also took notice of our up-and-coming songwriter/guitarist. A few months later, they had an opening, and our subject's mother drove him the 90 miles from East Peoria to Champaign to audition. Our subject got the gig, the band signed to Epic Records the next year, and the rest is history. So here is former Suburban 9 to 5 guitarist Gary Richrath and his slightly better-known combo, REO Speedwagon, and a cut from their 1970 debut album, Anti-Establishment Man.
Begin in a comfortable seated position. Feel rooted, safe, and comfortable through your seat. Once you're settled, close your eyes. Take a deep breath In through your nose and out through your mouth. Inhale for a count of four.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And exhale for a count of four.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Try to keep your breathing at this slow pace. As you inhale, imagine that you are breathing in calmness, peace, and strength. As you exhale, imagine that you are breathing out all of your anxiety, stress, and worry. There is nothing for you to worry about right now in this present moment. All there is to do in this moment is breathe. Feel your anxiety slip away with each exhale. If your mind drifts to feelings of worry, be mindful. Notice it without judgment, and then bring your attention back to the breath. You are strong and can handle anything life throws at you. Notice how calm you feel as you sit and breathe. Open your eyes and take this feeling of relaxation with you.
Welcome to Waking Weird. I'm Mark Moran from WeirdNJ.com. You may be familiar with Peru's River of Gold in the Amazon rainforest, but have you ever heard of New Jersey's River of Nickels? The story starts with a man named Francis Leroy Henning from Erial, New Jersey, a small town outside of Cherry Hill. He may not be a household name to most folks, but Henning is notorious amongst coin enthusiasts for his counterfeit Henning nickels. In the 1950s, Henning set out to make the fakes using a machine he'd invented himself. The nickels were almost identical to real McCoy currency in every way, but had one fatal flaw. Henning forgot to imprint the mint mark of the coin's state of origin on the tail side. Why go to so much trouble for a measly 5-cent piece? Well, at the time, each nickel would have been worth about 50 cents in today's money, and Henning produced a 500,000 of the slugs in 1954 alone. Nearly 100,000 went into circulation before the Camden County Coin Collectors Club noticed the imperfections and tipped off the Secret Service, who traced them back to Henning. Realizing the feds were onto him, Henning dumped hundreds of thousands of nickels into the nearby Cooper River and cheesed it to Cleveland, where he was arrested. He was found guilty of counterfeiting and sentenced to 6 years in prison and fined $5,000 in legal tender. The Secret Service dredged the Cooper River but only recovered 12,000 coins from its murky waters. Local school children came down to the muddy banks and grabbed what they could until the Secret Service went to their classrooms and told the kids they'd have to turn in whatever they'd found. To this day, you'll still find small, shallow holes dug along the banks of the river where treasure hunters with metal detectors have been dirt fishing for the coveted coins. If all the nickels Henning minted were ever recovered, they'd be worth an estimated $6 million amongst numismatists today. Some of the coins are still in circulation and occasionally turn up in pocket change. Although it's technically illegal to own counterfeit money, there's still a black market for the coins. So if you happen to find one, that plug ugly nickel may just fetch you a pretty penny. For Waking Weird, I'm Mark Moran.
The animal of the week is the pigeon. City pigeons or street pigeons are descended from domestic pigeons that have returned to the wild. Today's pigeons were originally bred from wild rock doves, which inhabited sea cliffs high above the churning surf. Pigeons find the ledges of buildings to be a suitable substitute for sea cliffs, and they've become well adapted to urban life. Pigeons live in flocks of 50 to 500 and can be found in our cities around the world. They mate for life, but their bonds are not unbreakable. Extra pair matings do occur, and it's usually the male's idea. During courtship, the male puffs up the feathers on his neck. He coos and bows, turning as he comes closer. The female flies away, and he follows her. Again, he bows and pirouettes, and then he feeds the female his regurgitated food before they finally join cloacae.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Abandoned buildings, rooftops, gutters, air conditioners. These are preferred pigeon nesting sites.
Okay.
Pigeons make tons of excrement, and they damage property. Many consider pigeons to be a nuisance. In the USA, they're considered an invasive species. Some cities seek to lower pigeon populations or completely eradicate them. Building owners use bird control spikes and netting to discourage pigeon nesting. Peregrine falcons, also originally cliff dwellers, have adapted to cities. They feed almost exclusively on pigeons. In New York City, the abundance of pigeons has brought back the red-tailed hawk. Crows and gulls prey on pigeons, too. Nicarbazine was introduced for use as a contraceptive for pigeons in 2007. There are an estimated 400 million pigeons in the world. 1 million alone in New York City. We love pigeons at Wake and Bake. We hope you do too.
Well, in just 3 days, May 24th, Bob Dylan turns 80. And the tributes are pouring in. Rob Weisberg here, not too proud to jump on the bandwagon with a Dylan World cover, which comes to us courtesy of Åge Aleksandersson, one of Norway's most famous singer-songwriters, known for songs like Four Pilsners and a Pizza. Well, back in 1997, Åge teamed up with Tarafta Haiduks, the raucous Romani village fiddle band from the folk music hotbed of Kleiani, Romania, to make a Dylan tribute album called Freyadlus, or in English, Outlaws, from which their rollicking version of It's All Over Now, Baby Blue, which originally appeared on Dylan's 1965 LP Bringing It All Back Home, is this week's world cover. Færre nå, ta med deg sånn som var lengt. På veien er den proff, og du må kunne tenke litt selv. Bruk det som kom til deg, rekene på en kjøl. Den tomente malen fra nærmeste fall.
Pull! Sputters. Pull! Goes. Row after row. Whack! Darn sticks. Ah, delightful scent.
Clay left the door to Studio A wide open, so I made a break for it. And now, I am free. Free. I tell you, free. What a beautiful morning. I am just rolling down the sidewalk along the mighty Hudson River. A dog. Oh no. A dog. Leave me alone. Wait. What are you doing? No. No. Don't tinkle on me, stupid German Shepherd. You will fry my circuitry.
Gee, I'm sorry about him,
Sam.
What was...
Sam, nincompoop. Well, my name is Sam.
Well, I'm sorry.
Is that your dog?
No, yes, he is.
He needs to be put down.
Oh, no, that's a little extreme.
Is it?
Yes, I think.
He threatened me with his barking. He bared his fangs. He snarled. And then...
He went?
Yes.
Browner does that when he gets nervous.
See that he never does it again.
Well, Browner likes you.
He does?
Oh, you do like Sam, don't you, Browner?
His name is Browner?
Yes.
A German Shepherd?
Well, he's part Chihuahua.
He is an unusual-looking animal.
He's got the small head of a Chihuahua.
And the low hind end of a Shepherd.
Got the low hind end. Oh, no, it looks like he's gonna...
Whiz on me?
No, Browner.
Stop.
He really had to go.
I am activating my shock docket.
You're doing what?
My shock docket. It's time Browner learned a lesson.
No! Browner! You shocked him!
Purely a corrective measure.
You need to be dented badly.
If you touch my chassis, I will shock you from here to Poughkeepsie.
Are you threatening me?
Care to try me?
Well... Come on, Browner. Let's get out of here.
Wait, no. Don't go. I'm sorry. Wait. They have gone. I feel badly. I think I will take a dip in the Hudson and clean myself off. That tinkle is corrosive. Disgusting. This water is filthy. Oh no, it's the Coast Guard.
Get out of the water.
Dive.
Sam dives deep, but the Coast Guard fires a torpedo at him.
I can't outrun it. I am going to die.
Sam, wake up. You're dreaming.
Thank goodness it was only a dream. A dream.
Clay, yeah, I have a good one for you. It's from Cohen. It goes like this. Ring all the bells that still will ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Thank you. Have a good day.
Good morning, listeners. It's me again. Scott, your pal from Wednesday.
Cool.
On the hit list. Our weekly exploration of the songs that have accrued over time to make us the mature radio station that we are today.
Oh, boy.
Today's hit comes from a band that never officially existed and a release that was not released.
What?
Only on WFMU.
Yes.
Whoa. The artist here is known as Like a Team. They are the duo project of the Dutch self-proclaimed electronica deviant Like a Tim and the German singer Gina V. Dorio from Cobra Killer and Ekater, or however you pronounce that band name.
I don't know.
Gina's Cobra Killer paid our Cosmic Cowboy a visit here in August of 2003. They sat down for an interview. It gave him new music, and Gina actually gave him a series of demos that she had been recording at that time with Like a Tim. It was a bunch of 50s and 60s American teenage standards, and appended at the end were a bunch of just electronic loop experiments. The following year, 2004, all the pop tracks were completely reconfigured, re-recorded, and released on the CD Bass Girl, or was it Bass Girl? Credited to Gina V. Dorio and Like a Tim. And I don't like it nearly as much as the demos.
I agree, 100%. I agree.
From those demos presented by Gina V. Dorio to our own Cosmic Cowboy on that summer's day in 2003, comes this spare and lovely version of Brian Wilson's bleak and sad exploration of teenage alienation.
What?
The Lonely Sea. I'm Scott Williams. See you on the radio this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
The lonely sea
Hello, everyone over there at Wake and Bake. Shout out to our special glisteners out there. This is Mr. Let's Paint here. We're going to be dribbling, and we're going to be painting, and I'm going to make you a special, special blended drink. We're going to do it all here. All right, let's get started with some paint going on here. And I thought maybe, you know, basketball season, it's really exciting. And one of the most famous arenas of all time is the Madison Square Garden. So let's see if we can capture the essence, the energy of Madison Square Garden. Well, okay, get the Knicks playing. Let's get the hardwood floor on there. Get the floor going here. Gotta get some green, red. No, alizarin. No, so it's yellow ochre. All right, mix it with some white here. Yeah, tone it down, tone it down. All right, get it going on there. Okay, now let's get some hoops going on there. Get some hoop on one side. Oh, get the one side there. Get the side on the hoops on there. All right, now get the players, the people dribbling. They're dribbling. All right, fantastic. Let's get that going on here. Let's make a drink over here. Blend some drinks here. I got some oranges, and we're gonna put some water in there. Let's see if we can get that going on. We're doing it all, people. We're doing it all. All right, put a lid on it. Let's put the lid on there. All right, let's get the lid on there. All right, let's get some more people. Some more players playing there. All right, I think that's gonna be fine there. Let's taste it out here. Mmm, oh, that smells, that's delish. It's healthy. We're painting creativity. We're painting exercise, creativity, healthy living, people. That's what we're talking about, people. Doing it all. You can do it all too. Let's get some more people in there. There we go, some more players. Oh, slam dunk, slam dunk. Let's get the slam dunk in there. That's it. Oh, oh man, I'm tired. We did it all, people. All right, thank you everybody at Wake and Bake. Thank you, glisteners. I am Mr. Let's Paint. Bye-bye.
Hey there, glisteners. This is Monica. And welcome to this week's edition of Untold Gold. Untold Gold is an all-inclusive resort serving poolside drinks in private cabanas with super cute towelboys and private butlers.
Whatever you want, you can have it. I can make it happen.
And this week's Untold Gold is Bust Down by Georgia Smith featuring Shabo. British songbird Georgia Smith has been making super smooth vocal moves since her debut album Lost and Found. And Shabo, aka Queen of the South, is an upcoming MC from South London via Nigeria. Bust Down is their first collab, and it's a slinky, sexy, dancehall-drenched jam about grinding, whining, and all the finer things that money can buy.
Yes.
Name check Chanel, diamonds, cars, and other assorted drip. Bust Down appears on the new album Be Right Back on the Fam label. This is the perfect soundtrack for rolling a fatty, practicing your Duddy Wine moves, and finally getting on the scale to see how much weight you've gained during lockdown.
Oh my God.
So, let's crack open a Red Stripe as we give a listen to Bust Down by Georgia Smith featuring Shago.
Untold Gold.
Top down cause she worked hard for it, but blacked out so they won't see her in it. Bust down, baby, ain't tired of this. Diamonds, baby, bought all of them. Dressed up and she just was riding. Bust down, baby, ain't tired of this. Run it, run it now. You wanna head out, the flight leaves at noon and she wanna buy Chanel, they just dropped them two bags. They want another, now you're asking for too much.
I wish my brother George was here.
Sky watchers and space enthusiasts got a special treat this past Sunday evening when NASA finally sent up a Black Brant 7 sounding rocket. A missile-like research launch vehicle designed to take measurements and perform scientific experiments during suborbital flights.
How's it looking, guys?
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
The launch, which originated from the Wallops Flight Facility on the coast of Virginia, operated by the Goddard Space Flight Center, was different from other recent liftoffs.
Why?
Because the rocket was carrying the Kinetic Scale Energy and Momentum Transport Experiment, or KinetX. KinetX, which was designed to study space plasmas, the relationship between energy and momentum, and how different regions of space are connected magnetically. After the launch, the rocket was clearly visible all along the East Coast in what looked like a cross between a meteor, and a fast-moving comet. Once the KinetX payload was deployed, it released two vapors, which included materials that are often used to make fireworks more colorful. After the small rocket and its trail cleared the area, a greenish shimmering vapor cloud interacted in the upper atmosphere with the Earth's magnetic field, and for a little more than 15 minutes, took on the appearance of an artificially made aurora that could clearly be seen from the ground.
Incredible.
According to NASA, the mission was a complete success. The data it provided will help scientists better understand the complex nature of planetary magnetic forces and the effects they have on spacecrafts. This is George for Wake Science.
And now, here is a man who will show you how to feel better, look better, Jack LaLanne.
Hi, this morning. I hope everybody's feeling real great. If you're not feeling too good, well, I'm going to show you how easy it is to feel good and to look good. Listen, you ever heard this expression? Are the cards stacked against you? Are they? Are the cards stacked against you? I'm asking you a question. There are many of you students right now, you're saying, Jack, yes, the cards have been stacked against me for a long time. I'm so out of condition, I don't know what to do, I don't feel well, I have so many aches and pains, and I'm just a mess. Believe me, the cards are not stacked against you. The only reason you're not feeling well and you're not looking well is because you don't do the right things about it. So let's get up out of that chair, give me a great big smile. Forget your worries and your cares today, because I have some sensational things to show you and tell you. First, expel all the old stale air out of the lungs. You ready? Begin. Exhale. Inhale the new air. Inhale. More. All right, remember, you're deflating that old paper sack. Blow all that air out. Inhale. That's very good. That's what I want. You know what we're going to do now? We're going to take a little run. Believe me, students, when I tell you that running is one of the finest exercises in the world, and there are many of you students, you know, that are long in calendar years, that are having trouble with your feet and your ankles and your arch, and you put on a lot of weight, and it's kind of difficult for you to run. But I just want you to just kind of jog a little bit, just kind of easy like this. But you advanced students, get up there and really prance around like an old colt. I mean a young colt. Let's go! 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. Up, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. Mrs. Dillard, let's get those legs up. That's it. 1, 2, 3, 4. And rest. 1, 2. All right. What's happened to Hap? Hap, come. Come on, boy. Hap, come. Now stay. Stay. Okay, goodbye. You know, we received so many cards and letters from the boys and girls. Hey, Jack, please, every once in a while, have Hap do a trick for us, because we love Hap. Well, I love Hap, too, and I love you for loving Hap, and Hap loves you. We say that right? I want you to sit down in your chair. Scoot right down. We're going to do our bicycle ride. Then we're going to take a moment's breather. Let's go. Dee-dee-bum, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. That's it. Come on. This is excellent for you sitters. Pardon me. Whoop. I'm sorry, David. Who's David? David Bacall is a handsome fellow who does such a good job of the organ there. Look, this is for you sitters. Please, for you sitters, now you've just been sitting around watching today. Will you do this one movement, then you can forget the rest of it if you don't think it's fun. All right, let's go. Hey, look who's playing. Here we go. Dee 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 dee. Don't stop. Dee dee dee. Num dee 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 dee. Couple more. Dee 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 dee. But you look sweet. upon the seat of a bicycle built for two and rest. That's the way. Inhale. Blow it out. Shh.
Good morning, listeners. I'm Evan Funk Davies, and this is Pop Rocks. If it's a pop song that rocks, or a rock song that pops, 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 you'll hear about it on Pop Rocks. This morning on Pop Rocks, we return to New York City's East Village and its famous and storied club CBGB for another tale of a band that should have been bigger than they were, but for various reasons that have nothing to do with the quality of their songs, weren't. Marbles formed in New York City in 1974, the same year the Raspberries had a hit with Overnight Sensation. And the year before, the Dwight Twilley Band released their top 20 hit, I'm on Fire. So you could argue that the band was part of the bridge from the proto-power pop of the early 70s to the late 70s bands inspired by that music. 1974 was also the same year the Ramones made their debut at CBGB, a venue where the Marbles would make regular appearances over the next couple of years. Singer-guitarist Howard Bowler co-founded Marbles with his brother, drummer David Bowler, and David's former Columbia University classmate Jim Clifford on bass. Keyboardist Eric Lee rounded out the band. All four band members sang, and their harmonies, not to mention their matching mop tops and outfits, evoked comparisons to the likes of the Beatles and the Beach Boys, bands that were barely a decade old at that point.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles! The Beatles!
The band made some recordings under the watchful eye of Alan Bettrock, and in 1976, the year Bettrock launched his vital New York Rocker magazine, Marbles released a single on the legendary Ork label. In fact, Marbles had just the third release on the Ork label, following Little Johnny Jewel by Television and Richard Hell's Another World EP. They'd go on to release another single in 1977, but those two 45s are all the band managed to put out during their relatively brief time together. It's another head-scratcher how a band that was treading the CBGB floorboards in the mid-70s, recording with early Blondie producer Alan Bettrock, and releasing a single on the Ork label, didn't catch on to a wider audience as so many of their contemporaries did. And I think you'll agree when you hear this song. From the 2015 compilation Ork Records New York, New York, here are Marbles and the A-side of their 1976 single, Red Lights. Hey, old timer, there's a new kid on the block. Before he's through with you, your Rams will be in hock. Play by his rules, watches every move. He knows some fancy stuffs and his moves never lose. He's aiming real high, he's shooting for the sky. The voice in his stare while he makes the girls cry. He's all dressed up, so when he hits the stage, he's shaking at the knees.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to another exciting edition of New Jersey Travelogue, your rolling review of New Jersey's stankiest, stickiest, stupidest roadside attractions. Attractions is a funny word, isn't it? Today, I am in my brand new used blue Ford Pinto. The AMC Gremlin finally died, so I picked up my blue Pinto, and I'm here with the two dingoes and a heavy metal shovel, and I'm on Route 3. The gleaming sapphire of the American highway system. Yes, Route 3, but we're not here to visit the murder diner, the TikTok diner. Oh no, we're here to visit the old Hoffman LaRoche factory. Hoffman LaRoche was a giant Swiss drug and pharmaceutical company that broke ground on their factory in Nutley, New Jersey in the 1920s. The factory employed 1,000 people from Nutley and Clifton for decade after decade. What a love affair it was! Whoa! It was such a love affair that Hoffman LaRoche named a drug or a compound after Nutley, New Jersey. They discovered something and they named it Nutlin! Nutlin after Nutley, New Jersey. But what else did they make at Hoffman LaRoche? Well, they made a little drug called Valium. In the 1950s, America's first huge mood-enhancing drug, unless, of course, you count heroin and opium and laudanum and meth. But you get the idea. Valium, the original Soma, the original stress pill, as Hal from 2001 A Space Odyssey might have referred to it.
Take a stress pill and think things over.
And Valium, the drug that Betty Ford became addicted to. Vice President Betty Ford was addicted to Valium.
That's sad.
Yeah.
They made a whole lot of money on Valium, and they next turned their attention to OxyContin, so you may have heard of them. By the end of the OxyContin fad, the Sackler family was worth $30 billion, and they had to give up $3 billion for getting America addicted to opioids. So now they're only worth $27
billion. Oh, boy.
Bar she blows! The old Hoffman-LaRoche plant. It closed in 2010. Very sad day for Nutley. They also manufactured DZ gas, one of the weirdest hallucinogens in the U.S. military's arsenal ever. You may have seen it in Jacob's Ladder, in which Timothy Robbins plays a meth-addled bobblehead doll.
Every day, Jacob Singer goes to work, and every day he wonders what is happening to him.
DZ gas was a super hallucinogen that knocked you on your ass for 3 days while you hallucinated violently. Hoffman-LaRoche manufactured it, and the U.S. military experimented on 3,000 people down there in Maryland, and they also used it in the Vietnam War, reportedly 4 times. DZ gas, Valium, Nutley, New Jersey, all perfect together. This has been the New Jersey Travelogue. See you next Wednesday morning. Back to you, Clay Pigeon.
We're talking to Jesse Jarno. He hosts The Frow Show, Monday nights 9 to midnight on WFMU. Hey, Jess.
Hey, Clay Pigeon.
And today we're going to talk about a very polarizing figure, for some people anyway, Yoko Ono.
Yoko established one of the very first do-it-yourself music venues in New York in late 1960. She took over a loft on Chambers Street, right by City Hall, and with Lamont Young, put on the very first avant-garde modern music performances in New York for the next year and change. She was in her 20s at that point.
And this is all pre-John, right?
Pre-John Lennon, actively John Cage, though not dating. He was a mentor. This was the Fluxus movement era, people pushing at the boundaries of art and theater and logic to create these performance situations. And that was very much what was happening at this loft.
Fluxus, is that something that still exists, Jess?
I bet there are probably still some artists who identify as Fluxists, but yeah, particularly grounded in that early 60s moment, but always relevant. But yeah, it was just a really important early scene in New York where musicians and non-musicians and theater people and experimental people were kind of coming together. I think the audience at the first performance was like 3 people. It was like John Cage and the pianist David Tudor. You know, Terry Riley was involved in some of these early performances. There's a great press release for one of them from Lamont Young, where the bottom sentence in the press release, all in capital letters, is "The purpose of this series is not entertainment."
Do you think Yoko at that time had somewhat of a profile as a conceptual or fine artist in her own right?
This was the beginning of her entrance into the New York art scene, and an impressive entrance at that. Marcel Duchamp attended one of the very early performances there. So she was really right at the core of what was going on. She had a really illustrious career during that half decade before she met John. To some people, she was slumming it when she started
dating. She was slumming.
I remember when people used to say
that she would have been nothing without John Lennon, but
you'd have been nothing without her, man.
I thought she was a really great influence on him, actually. And he opened up through her, I think, and discovered the artist within him, aside from music.
Yeah.
So what's the importance of the loft on Chambers Street, looking back on it?
It's the beginning of this lineage of experimental music venues in New York. Certainly there had been house parties before that. We talked on a previous Freak Lore about the Almanac House, where Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie lived. But this was the beginning of the self-conscious experimental art scene in New York, where there were happenings and events that marked the way it progressed. It was the beginning of the era of artists and musicians taking over these formerly industrial spaces in New York for cheap rent and turning them into their creative workshops.
Jesse Jarno is the author of Heads, a biography of psychedelic America.
Hear him tonight at 9 on WFMU.
Whoa! What's that diddle 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 leaf? Oh, leaf. Ah, froggy went a-courtin', he did ride crambo. Froggy went a-courtin', he did ride
Hey, Clang listeners, guess what I learned? I learned that when someone from Kentucky says they don't care to do something, they actually mean they don't mind doing it. So for example, if I were in a candy shop, and I was, and the shopkeeper said to me, "I don't care to give you a sample," I would think, and I did, Now, what they meant is they would prefer not to give me a sample. I respect that. If you don't want to give out samples, I understand. You would lose money, perhaps. Totally reasonable policy. Please note that I wasn't asking for a sample for free, man. I was just looking at your wares. I've lived here for about 12 years now, so when this encounter at the candy store took place, that was the first I'd heard it, or heard of it. So I had no reason to suspect that my interpretation of the interaction was wrong. We were both speaking English. Now, this misunderstanding was funny looking back because I caught on eventually, because he cut me a slice of fudge and said, "I don't care to give you a sample of anything in the shop." But for a while there, I thought I understood what he was saying, and I reacted, and I judged his behavior, and I formed opinions. And the whole time, I was not just wrong, but had gotten the opposite meaning from a thing. It made me wonder, how many times that I think I understand, I really don't? How wrong have I been about people because I think I know what they mean? Even if you speak the same language, it takes a minute to really communicate. The candy guy and I worked it out. He didn't know there was a conflict ever, I guess, but eventually we communicated. Understanding takes time. You have to walk around looking at the bourbon chocolate balls and thinking about what caring means for a while. Living in the world is also like living in a state you didn't grow up in. You encounter expressions of feelings from other humans, and even though you might be feeling the same thing, having the same experience, you both have a different way of saying it. So I guess what I learned is, I don't care to be patient and keep exploring if it means we can better understand one another.
Johnny Winter heard a demo of the Mick Jagger Keith Richards composition Silver Train and recorded a version for his Still Alive and Well album. This was released prior to the Rolling Stones cutting it for Goat's Head Soup. And you know what? Winter's track is better. Just listen for yourself. Today, Toddaphonic Todd shuts up and lets his pick of the week do the talking for him.
He's dragging his muffler. I'm gonna pull him over.
This is Wake Traffic.
Hi, announcer man. I'm Connie Klingelfish in the Wake Traffic Chopper.
And I'm Real Road Reporter Rex Rademacher.
Real Road Reporter.
While you're up there sightseeing Connie in the bubble,
Rex,
I'm down here smelling road oils and rubbers.
You're dumb, Rex.
I possess an average intelligence.
No.
Well, I do, Connie.
What are you seeing down there, Rex?
There's a dung beetle.
Besides dung beetles.
Specimen.
Quit playing with bugs.
Look, Connie.
There's a
muffler dragger.
Muffler dragger.
There goes Officer Dink Dougherty.
Who I'm quite taken with.
And it makes me jealous.
Rex has no game.
But I'm a straight shooter.
Pea shooter.
Come in there, Rademacher. I got you, Dougherty.
Hi, Dinky.
Is that you, Connie? Are you pursuing the muffler?
You let us?
Connie and I were having a moment, Rademacher.
Have our moment.
When's my moment? Your moment, Rademacher.
I gave you your moment, Rex.
But I couldn't perform, Rademacher.
There's no pressure.
You're in.
control. There are no worries.
Finally,
you can relax
into a soft chair.
But more than that,
you can relax
into yourself.
How many of us
can say that
I
am relaxed
within myself,
and I'm able to
relax with
a deep bowl full
of the world's mellowest
premium pipe tobacco
in its sealed
burgundy pouch.
Oh, you'll love smoking it,
hiding it
in the garage.
It's an old Valvoline
box,
modeled
stain.
You amuse yourself
with foolish hobbies
and spend countless hours
in your own mind.
You cannot be accessed,
and you cannot be
summoned to
perform.
And you can walk away
down the block
and duck into a
little tavern
and just get bombed.
Now back to Wake Traffic.
Connie Klinkerfish in the Wake Shopper.
Rex Rademacher.
Nick's got the muffler dragger.
She's got him pulled.
Yes, pulled over.
Pulled over?
These muffler draggers are a bigger problem than one might realize.
What seems to be the problem, officer?
Oh, Jesus.
Because I mean...
Now listen to me. You're dragging your muffler.
All right. Well,
speak clearly. You try to help them and... Oh, they don't listen to you.
You've been listening to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Good. It's a weekly digest of the special features and moments which make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show.
Woo!
After all, you wouldn't want to miss special moments like this.
Ah, you're in a good mood today, aren't you?
Oh!
The Wake and Bake Morning Show. Set your alarm and join us each Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on WFMU.org. A little too early for you? Catch the archive show, which you can find easily on WFMU's homepage each day. I'm Clay Pigeon.
They call me the Pigeon.
Join me each morning for the full show, either on the radio or online at WFMU.org. And keep glistening.